Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. He has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 20 years to support you when your health matters. It's Dr. Huntoon's intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered by Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. Doc Rick calls that being proactive, and he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from this generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located in Newburgh, New York. And I'm here with you each week to share some information I feel is important for your health and the health of your family and friends. When you have questions, I'll ask you to go to thealternativehealthcarenetwork.com and consult with any of the providers listed on the site. Each one of the providers offers you a unique opportunity to support you when your health matters. So if we do not answer your questions fully while on the show, please consider contacting any one of us directly for the answers you seek. My direct phone number is area code 845-561-BACK or 561-2225, or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K @spineboy.com, and it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. And let's face it, having health issues is not fun. Being healthy is your birthright, and it's my job to help you facilitate exercising your birthright so that you don't have to end up being a statistic that they do so well to compile and keep track of and make you prepay for the eventual statistic that you will become. My job is to keep you from becoming that statistic. And the gentleman that helps me do that each week is in studio with me. His name is Mark Sabin, and he's the man behind the topics that we pick and helps to develop the program and the material and understanding that we convey to you guys. And we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thanks so much, Doc Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, every week we get a chance to talk about conversations about people's health and what goes into people's health and how they can preserve their health or restore their health and keep their health. But one of the things that of course, is the concern of everybody is that we eventually come to the end of our lives. And in mainstream medicine, they view death as an enemy. And so it does everything it can to combat that. And your focus on health is all the things you can do proactively to preserve and restore your healthy life. And do you ever have occasion to deal with patients who are facing end-of-life decisions?
Oh, absolutely. I help my elderly patients with that. I help their children and my patients whose parents are transitioning through the end-of-life circumstances. And I help them individually understand what the time in a person's life is about and how to embrace it rather than deny it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was recently reading a book called Being Mortal by an author and surgeon, Dr. Atul Gawande. And he says, and I quote this, "The problem with medicine and the institutions it spawned for the care of the sick and the old is not that they have had an incorrect view of what makes life significant. The problem is they have had almost no view at all. Medicine's focus is narrow. Medical professionals concentrate on the repair of health, not the sustenance of the soul.
And that's interesting, and I would agree with that statement partially. Instead of repair of health, I would say treat disease with maximum return for the treatment itself and not the sustenance of the soul.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, we are all going to face death at some point. And unless your life is cut short by a sudden violent act or an accident, the late stages of living involve the body shutting down. Is there any way to avoid that at the end of life?
Death is a complete ending of all the life force in the physical body, and it's the release of spirit to the next round of creating. And everyone chooses their time and their way of dying, even if they're not conscious of the choices that they make. And that is the nature of life for all of us. You either do it consciously or you do it unconsciously. And my intention is to help people do it consciously so that they come to the end of their life with more conscious awareness, more understanding, and it's something that they can embrace rather than something that is sprung on them or sprung on their family members or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Now, not every illness can be cured, can it?
Well, sometimes the illness is the soul's choice to have the experience of what, quote, that would be like, and the experience of moving through it is the purpose of that person's life, and it contributes to the whole life by the individual who experiences that life as well as the rest of us who are affected by it.
And what's so interesting about that is that, you know, some people define themselves by the illness that they may have, but actually the illness or the condition is not what defines who you are.
No, there are many who have made a great statement about who they are, and through their illness or affliction, they serve as great examples for the rest of us, and we should all be grateful for their choosing their life circumstance and playing it out for the others to see, and it truly is a great gift when you experience the benefits of somebody else's choices.
Mm-hmm. You know, so many of the stories about people's final days involve massive amount of drugs and often surgeries, and in the effort to extend the days of living, the quality of life is sometimes completely overlooked.
Yes, and we as a group of people need to be given the choice to resuscitate or not to resuscitate, and we should have the ability to make those choices for ourselves, not necessarily our doctors or not necessarily the insurance company or what have you.
Yeah, and some people, when they're faced with an imminent death, become really laser-focused on their relationships and on the aspects of living that they find the most rewarding. But often the doctors don't know how to support patients making those choices to, you know, they might want to leave the medical establishment and return home for the end of their days.
Yeah, and the doctor is not the one who should make those decisions for someone else. They need to do the job being asked of them by the person or the advocate for the person, and not what makes the most amount of profit or makes headlines because of some new or revolutionary idea that, quote, may help others. You know, simply ask the person what their choice is and make sure to honor their choice and don't make it about you or what it is that you're trying to accomplish through that particular patient or person.
Yeah, so, well, how can you help someone find the best course of action for themselves?
Well, most important is to have the conversation and make others know what your wishes are and to find a team of support that can help you honor your choices. And ultimately, it is your choice, conscious or unconscious, the choice that we all have to make.
And I think being conscious of those choices is a real benefit for most people.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, Gawande goes on to say that we've been wrong about what our job is in medicine. We think our job is to ensure health and survival, but really it is larger than that. It's to enable well-being. And well-being is about the reasons one wishes to be alive. Those reasons matter, not just the end of life, but when debility comes, but all along the way.
And I would agree with that. And we as practitioners or even other fellow humans are about support and service to others for their sake, not for our own sake. And the reward we receive is the giving to the others the highest and best version of who we choose to be in response to how they present themselves to us. And that's essentially how I look at life.
And it's a really good way to look at life. And I think, you know, when you're coming to the end of life or you're dealing with somebody who may be coming to the end of life, having these conversations and being really straightforward about it and opening your eyes to what's happening is probably an important approach to take.
Absolutely. And the patients of mine in the office who I help with them on either their transition or a transition of a parent or another family member, they're always grateful And we always have really heartfelt conversations afterwards about, you know, thank you for helping me get through this and you know, helping me to have an outlet and a way to deal with the difficulty of this person in my life passing.
And in many ways, we think of it as a difficult conversation to have. And in some ways, it is a difficult conversation, but it's more difficult, I think, if you don't have that conversation.
Absolutely.
This is a really fascinating conversation. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about this really important topic.
Certainly, but please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to When Your Health Matters.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Hi, this is Doc Rick from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center and When Your Health Matters radio show. All too often, I get questions from people as to where can they go to learn some things about their health or how to improve their health or how to avoid sickness, etc. And I always say to them, don't you remember that I have free healthcare classes every Tuesday evening at 6:30 at my office in Newburgh? So I suggest that you go to my website, spineboy.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and you will see an icon that says free healthcare classes. This week's free healthcare class, if you click on that, it'll take you to the whole list of free healthcare classes every week for the whole year. Pick the class that works best for you. Call our office at 845-561-BACK to secure your spot in our class, and I would look forward to seeing you there and helping you to learn the things that you need to understand to restore your health for you or your family members. It's Doc Rick at spineboy.com, and call our office at 561-2225. That's 561-2225. We would look forward to serving you.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today we're talking about end-of-life decisions and the whole death and dying topic. And Mark, I'm sure you have more questions.
It is. You know, it's an important part of our health and our living, and all of us go through it in one way or another. Certainly we see the people in our lives that may pass away, and we need to deal with that. And you know, for anybody that's coming into with a health concern, one of the toughest diagnosis a person could face would be being told that their condition is terminal. It's, you know, it's like being told when your story is going to end, and it causes some people to completely reset their priorities, and others want to do anything they can to live as long as possible.
And I respect that, and sometimes the effort does not justify the return. For instance, taking a medication that will sustain you for 3 or 4 more weeks, but sustain you in a less than ideal situation may not be better than to let go with dignity and peace.
Yeah, so really living longer isn't always the better choice, is it?
No, it is not. And I have thought about it for myself and now for my wife, and we have discussed my wishes, and she's clear about my wishes, and my intention is to be here for as long as I can in the most healthy way possible. So I don't want the listener to think that I'm looking to leave anytime soon. But what's important to appreciate is the fact that we've had these conversations and that I'm very clear about what my wishes are.
Mm-hmm. And I think for most people, that we, since we don't talk about it, is often a taboo subject. We don't often get to have an opportunity to express what our desires are or even to think them through clearly.
Correct.
It's really important to be able to evaluate the benefits of extending your days. As you said, you could get 3 more weeks and have a very poor quality of life, or you might have a better day.
Yes, and that's why I preach being proactive versus being reactive. Too much in our society is about reactive care versus true prevention and proactivity, and it's important for all of us. It doesn't matter how old you are, start your mindset to become more proactive and don't just always be reactive with your healthcare choices.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned about the idea of making plans in advance. What exactly is a DNR order?
A DNR means do not resuscitate. It's meaning no efforts to revive or resuscitate a person is the wish of that person, and so no extraneous interventions need be done to the person to revive them if they've passed out or if their heart stopped beating or what have you. It's just let them go.
And is that something you can just tell somebody, or is that something that you need to have in writing?
Ideally, it's something that you can tell, but the medical profession always wants everything in writing, and I'm sure you'll have to sign a specific form that says do not resuscitate.
Mm-hmm. So in those circumstances, you could actually choose to avoid any kind of medical intervention.
Yes, and it's something that we should all consider long before it comes to that, and long before it's too close to the end, is just really take some time to ascertain for yourself and make it known to those people who are going to be your advocates the importance of what your wishes are.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, what would happen if you wanted to change your mind?
Well, then change your mind and make the people closest to you aware of that, and make sure your doctors are aware of that as well. But, you know, you have to communicate.
Mm-hmm. And let's say you don't have explicit written orders and you aren't able to communicate. Who then makes a decision for you?
Well, hopefully you have an advocate or a person who is legally responsible for those decisions. And this is a person who you choose legally to take responsibility and make those decisions for you.
And I guess you said that, you know, you want to have these conversations as early as possible. But at what point do you have to make the decision?
When you decide what you are or are not willing to live with, and no one else should get in the way of that ever. And so you need to have a sense of what are the potential circumstances, long-term circumstances that you may be faced with, and would you choose to go through those circumstances or would you choose not to?
Mm-hmm. Now, in the case where somebody has received a tough diagnosis and they were told that their condition is terminal and they're anticipating that they are coming towards the end of their own life, one of the options people have is what's called palliative care. And what exactly is palliative care?
Well, it's care to help a person in pain deal with the pain. It's care that will not remedy the problem, but make the person more comfortable in the process of moving through that condition.
Mm-hmm. And is that the same thing as hospice?
Yes and no, depending upon if you're doing it for someone or if hospice is doing it. Hospice care is a specialized care designed to provide support to you and your loved ones during an advanced illness. And hospice care focuses on comfort and quality of life rather than a cure. The goal of hospice care is to enable you to have an alert, pain-free life and to live each day as fully as possible with dignity.
Mm-hmm. Now, do people in the hospice actually die more quickly?
Not necessarily. I guess it depends upon the individual circumstances. That's an interesting question. I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. At what point do you go into hospice care?
When you make the decision, you do not choose any more medical intervention to treat your condition or when all the medical care has been exhausted.
Mm-hmm. So does it really amount to just nursing care, or is there something more to it?
It's a little more involved than that. Different services are offered to support the patient any way that is appropriate for the circumstances. You know, there's medication for symptom control or pain relief, medical equipment like wheelchairs or walkers, or medical supplies like bandages and catheters, etc. There's physical and occupational therapy. There may be speech and language pathology services, dietary counseling, other Medicare covered services needed to manage pain and other symptoms related to terminal illness as recommended by the hospice team. There's short-term inpatient care. There's short-term respite care. And there's grief and loss counseling for patients or loved ones at the end of the circumstance.
All of which are pretty important services to help somebody through. I mean, it used to be that people would die in their own homes and there wasn't that kind of support mechanism. Now, over the last, you know, 50 to 100 years, with hospitals taking a more prevalent role in our health and in the end of life, so many people have been dying in hospitals, which is probably a rather unpleasant place to spend your last days.
Definitely, and that's not where I plan to spend mine.
So what's changed? I mean, why has that changed so much that people have been, you know, is it just because the medical profession has taken such an important view on being able to sustain life as long as possible?
I would feel it's the lack of understanding and the splintering of the family unit with children and loved ones living in different parts of the world away from the person who's in the process of dying. I mean, I have lots of patients who, you know, their brothers or sisters are someplace else, and the burden ends up falling upon the one that's closest to the parents. You know, the other family members don't want to be involved, or they don't allow themselves to get involved because they'll let their own life circumstances get in the way. And it's just a tough situation, and that's why we need to have these conversations. We need to be able to openly talk about it and plan for the eventual end of our lives.
Well, that's why I appreciate you having this conversation today, because it is so important, and it is something that needs to be talked about and addressed in a very, you know, conscious and aware way in order to make life better.
Yes.
Well, this is really great. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the Alternative Healthcare Network.com. When we come back, I have a few more questions about these end-of-life choices.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Are you being prepared for a life-altering medical procedure? Are you facing a lifetime of daily medication? There are other options. Get an alternative healthcare second opinion. Too often people don't seek alternatives until after surgery permanently changes them, or until after medications trigger worrisome side effects. You may end up with countless concerns likely to last a lifetime. Don't delay getting an alternative healthcare second opinion. If you know your options, you might make a different, informed decision. Remember, you can still have the options for surgery or medication. Take the time to meet before having life-altering surgery or taking symptom-masking medications. Learn what you can do for your health naturally. And if you've already had a procedure or are taking daily medication, come find out what natural support you can do to restore your health. If you'd like an alternative healthcare second opinion, call 845-561-2225. Your current and future health depend on you. Call 845-561-BACK before committing your life to surgery or medication. Advance Alternative Medicine Center, serving all your healthcare needs naturally.
You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located in Newburgh, New York. And today we're talking about end of lives and what you choose to do to end your life and how you would end your life and how it affects your family and how everybody involved would be affected by it.
And in light of that, we've talked about how important it is to have that conversation. So really, how would you go about having that conversation with someone?
Just simply start the conversation. You know, I'd like to talk to you about, ultimately what my wishes are as far as the end of my life goes, I want to talk to you about, do you have your affairs in order with regards to the end of your life? And because we never know when something's going to happen. And a person could get into an accident and then do you do the life-sustaining interventions that are going to help sustain that person's life but not give them any quality of life when they end up recovering? I mean, these are things you need to ask. And it was interesting early on in my career when I first graduated school, my uncle was still my legal guardian at that point. And so I talked to my parents about that and the concept of their will and them looking at their end of life was not a conversation that my dad was in a position to want to take a look at. And I could appreciate his perspective at the time, but it's like, now I've recently had a conversation with my parents and asked them what's going on with them. And I said, this isn't necessarily a pleasant conversation, but I just think it's important for you to communicate with us, your children, in terms of what your wants, wishes, and desires are. And very proud of them and the fact that they've got all of that handled, all of it laid out. They know exactly what's going to happen if one goes before the other or vice versa, or if they go together or what have you. And it's taken care of.
I mean, I imagine that, there's one aspect of it, which is if you're talking about your own situation and you want to talk to your loved ones about your choices, then on the other hand, there is, as you said, talking with your parents or the people that you care about and having that conversation with them, which could be difficult to broach that topic because people really don't want to face the fact that we are mortal.
Right. But at the end of the day, you got to appreciate the fact that we are mortal, and it is something, that's why we're having this show, it is something that we're all going to have to face at one point or another.
Yeah. So what kind of questions should you ask?
What are your wishes for the end of your life? Do you want to exhaust all of the life-saving efforts, even if it leaves you unconscious for some time, or do you choose to go out on your own terms, whatever those circumstances happen to be? I mean, those are basic questions that you want to get a sense of.
One of the things that was interesting in the book that I referred to earlier, Being Mortal, was the idea of asking people, even at the end stages of life, what are your personal goals?
Okay, so it is the goals for the end of their life. Those sorts of things, absolutely. It's definitely worth having that discussion. You can approach what their perspective is, what their wants, wishes, and desires are, what their fears are, what their apprehensions are. All of those things are important to have those kinds of conversations and to shed some light on what is the person feeling and how can you offer a sympathetic ear? How can you offer some compassionate listening as well as compassionate advice? And how can you comfort them? And again, it goes back back to the purpose of being a human being is to help support other human beings. And how can you as an individual be kind and compassionate and supportive and empathetic with the people that you're dealing with? Because mm-hmm. we never know what a person's mindset is. Yeah. And that's why you need to have the conversation.
And I mean, for some people, it's kind of interesting, the stories where, you know, well, as long as that I'm able to have a conversation, or as long as I'm able to eat a piece of chocolate, and then these are the times that I'm willing to continue living. And when I get past that point, I don't want any more help to keep me alive.
Right. And that's when you need to have legally in place a DNR, or a do not resuscitate order.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you do have an understanding of what the person wants, can you help them chart a course on what action best serves that understanding?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And it's by entering into some sort of relationship, you have to make sure that all the other people who have a vested interest are aware of the choices that you are making, or the choices that you're helping somebody else make. And you know, sometimes it's interesting. What I've seen in my practice is different family members approach death differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody's totally in agreement with supporting the parents to end their lives the way that they're going to end up ending their lives. And the other, you know, siblings are fighting and controlling and wanting to fight to, no, we can't let our parents die and blah, blah, blah. And then and it just gets into
a family
whole big
struggle.
Family
yeah.
upset.
That, you know, one of the things, you know, pain relief is a big issue for people that may have a condition where they are in a lot of pain. And the offset there is how much pain relief you get, and then how aware you stay, because you can have so much painkillers that you become kind of woozy and really can't think straight.
Absolutely. And so it's important to find out, you know, what is being offered. Some of the newest medications are not healthy, and the consequences of going on them need to be fully weighed out if you're going to do it right. And unfortunately, too many people are not doing it right, want to take the easy way. You know, the practitioners that are recommending these medications, there's I get lots of phone calls every week of people who are looking for the strong narcotics, mm-hmm. The Oxycontins, et cetera. And they're coming to me because I'm listed on the internet as a pain management doctor. And they're just looking for the drugs because they're addicted to the drugs. And the doctors basically said, well, at this point, I've exhausted the financial benefit that I can get. And it's not in your best interest to continue taking these medications. And I can't prescribe them anymore. And it's a big money-making situation, and it puts doctors in difficult situations, because ultimately they're in the business to want to help their patients,
right.
And they can't necessarily quantify the patient's pain. So they try to do the best they can, but there's limits to what can be done through these different medications.
Yeah. Now, I mean, one of the things I think that is really an important question that kind of sums up so much of this is that if you are facing a terminal situation, would be to ask the question, what would you like to do with the time that you have left?
It's always a great question. And they may not know, and the not knowing is okay too, but you know, I think it's a question that we all need to consider for ourselves when we can see the finish line, so to speak, of our lives. I think it's important to say, okay, if there's this much distance between now and the end of my life, what is it that I want to do? Do I want to be a passive person? Do I want to continue to be active? Have I checked off all the things on my bucket list? You know, do I want to spend time with loved ones and family members? What is in my best interest, and am I coherent? Have I lost brain function? Have I become an angry, bitter person as a result? You know, these are all things that need to be taken into consideration.
Such an important conversation. I so appreciate you having this conversation with me. And, you know, you do deal with this kind of a topic in your practice. And if there is somebody out there who's listening to the radio show and has some additional questions that we haven't addressed here on the show, or just want to be able to talk to somebody who has your perspective on this subject, how would they best reach you?
They should always give my office a call at area code 845-561-BACK or 561-2225, or they can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. And it certainly would be my pleasure to help you to better understandings. And when you're helping, either when you're facing or when you're helping somebody else face the end of life, you want to do what is the most loving choice, not necessarily for you as the caregiver or you the support person, but what's the most loving thing that you can do to help this person transition from their physical life over to the spirit world? And it's just, it's very, very important that we human beings are become more actively involved in understanding and not being afraid of the end of life and embracing, because it is part of the cycle of life. And so if anybody has any questions, I'm always here to help, and I would appreciate anybody who wanted to contact me and ask their questions. I appreciate the listeners. I want to thank you for tuning in this week. Please tune in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.